It is, I don't know, goofy, I guess. How the duck guy here gets to talk to the smartest kids in the room today. We have five graduates that are graduating, four from Northmore, one, well, actually two from Galleon, I assume. Galleon? Mount Gilead, Galleon, or Tri Rivers online, okay? So that's pretty cool. Pretty cool. It's a huge day for those kids. And I'm going to give them their due, but I'm also this message that God said, hey, Doofus, I want you to preach this one today. And I was like, I don't know. I don't know, God. I don't know how we're going to get there. But he got me there. If you're a graduate, come on up here. We've got a little bit of pre-work we're going to do here. Yeah, come on up. Come on up. Alan had to crawl down the stairs. So, Wesley Adams, here's what I'll tell you, and some of these I'll read. Wes will be going into auto mechanics and has a job waiting on him at Ford at the end of the summer. That's, you have an internship until then, or?
Yeah.
And he graduated from Ohio Digital Learning School. So I'm going to stay on the step because if I don't, he's going to be like way taller than me, and I don't want that. He's still as tall as me. There's something from the church card. It's a big day. It's a big day. You got one phase of your life is out of the way. Now you move on. And that's pretty cool. I don't know this young man, Carter, Matt. Even though you graduated from MacLeod, we got you a little something there. I won't hold that totally against you. What's your future plans?
Work at Kekozing.
Kekozing? Cool.
In the
Carpenter Union. All right, very good. I know a guy who works there if you have any trouble. Owen Philpott. Owen will graduate from Northmore today. He is a, what did I do here? I hope you want a teal one. Owen is graduating. He was in the band, all three bands, pep, jazz, and marching. Also on the varsity bowling team for all 4 years. Sure. They went to state this year. I do know that. Be quiet. Be quiet. He is continuing his education at the University of Northwestern Ohio. He's going to major in diesel mechanics as well as bowl for them, so that's pretty cool. He currently works for Fetter and Sons over in Morrill, Ohio, Marion. He's going to be successful. That's a school that I didn't know that's what it was called, but back when I went to Bluffton, I knew some guys that went there in Lima, and it's pretty cool. It used to be called something else, but I don't know what it is. But now it's a Northwestern, University of Northwestern Ohio. So congratulations. Sorry, I didn't shake any hands. Carter, give me a hand. There you go. Thank you. Autumn Driscoll. Autumn is graduating today, also from Northmore. Also in all the music stuff. Man, I am unorganized. I made him write up this. I should have made him speak. Autumn has been a part of the Northmore band for 8 years, including marching band, pep band, jazz band. She's also done choir for 5 years, night sounds for 2 years. With these, she has also done District 10 for solo and ensemble and Kent State for all-star band. In addition to music, she has been part of the track and field team for 5 years and cheerleading for 2. She's also been involved in National Honor Society for the last 2 years. outside of school. Autumn has also been involved in Girl Scouts for 10 years. Here's what I'll tell you about Autumn. She's going into sign language is going to be your major, correct? That's pretty cool. American Sign Language and Music Education. She'll be attending Sinclair Community College, and that is in Dayton. So, Autumn Driscoll, I won't shake your hand, I'll give you a hug. Good job. Jacob Vanderkoy. Jake is not here today. Jake is daughter of Julie. Jacob. Huh? Son of Julie and Jerry. Jacob gave up school sports to start racing more frequently all over the United States, just like his brother and his dad. He loves to golf in his spare time and loved playing basketball and baseball, but racing is his ultimate favorite thing to do. Jacob will actually graduate today as well from Northmore, I believe, right? He's going to pursue his career in American flat track racing. This is something Jacob and his family has had a passion for many years and recently received his professional racing license to start at the end of June. He will also be looking for a job, a trade that he will come to love. Riding those bikes would be fun. And Jared and him are both successful at it. But man, you better have a trade, because that is something that's not going to last forever. I thought I was a pretty good baseball player. Not anymore. Lastly, Alan Gray. Here's what I'll tell you about Alan. I asked these kids or their parents for a blurb. I got a book. I like it. Alan has been here since he, you know, was knee-high. Pretty cool. Alan's been a member of the Northmore Band program since fifth grade. He plays percussion and has participated in all of the bands, including marching, pep, concert, and jazz. Throughout his high school years, he has been awarded the Golden Knight Award, Band Spirit Award, and Jazz Band Member of the Year. Alan was also a member of the Night Sounds his senior year and performed his first solo, Don't Worry, Be Happy. I wish I was there. I did. You want to do that later? That would have been cool. And those of you that don't know, Alan, when he was, I believe he was a freshman, maybe he's in junior high. I don't know if you guys marched in junior high to help the numbers or not. Anyway, by the end of Alan's senior year, man, he was into this band. I mean, I never pictured Alan to be dancing out there with that big drum. But he was, man. He was getting it. It was pretty cool to watch. He was a student director for the musical last year. Most recently, he tried out and was selected to play the role of Old Man Jenkins in SpongeBob, the musical at Galleon Theater, which will run later this month. Alan has been involved with scouting since kindergarten, and he achieved the highest rank of Eagle Scout when he was 14. That's impressive, folks. Alan was also a member of the National Honor Society as a sophomore and is currently the senior class secretary at Northmore. Alan is an active member at OACC and participates in youth group and their various service projects. On most Sundays, you'll see him in the sound booth running the projectors and the sound system during service. He's the guy that makes it all go, right? You know, the words are on the screen. It's because somebody had to key those in, either Alan or Julie or somebody. And that's pretty cool. Alan has taken a lot of responsibility with that, and he's here religiously, no pun, doing that. Here's a little known fact. Alan is an avid Star Wars fan and a Lego builder. Now, this part doesn't surprise me. He loves to play pranks on his family and friends and can give you a great Patrick Star impression. Who is Patrick Star? Do it. It's too early. All right. Alan Gray, congratulations. I didn't give somebody a card. All right, these are your five that are here today, graduates. Let's give them a round of applause. Thanks, guys. You can be seated unless you want to stand up. I don't care. Just another commercial. Alan's party is June 10th, 4 to 7. Jacob's is June 11th, 3 to 5. Autumn's is June 17th, 2 to 5. And Owen's is June 24th, 1 to 4. Allen's is at their house in Iberia. Jacob's is at their house on County Road 59. Autumn and Owen's are at Kramer Community Hall in Iberia. If you need those dates, I'm sure there's graduation announcements over there. Their parties are all listed. You know what? Let's go to Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I just come before you, Lord, and I just lift up those kids that are graduating, starting careers, start furthering their education, whatever that may look like for each individual. Lord, we just lift them up to you today, and we know that your guiding hand is on their lives, and we know that you want what's best for them, and you already have that plan laid out many, many years in advance. Lord, I just ask you that we as a church continue to hold them on our hearts and on list, that they may feel the power of a praying church, and they may feel the power of an all-knowing God in everything they do, Lord. Lord, I ask you today just to shut my mind down and shut my brain down and just let my tongue work for you and let me be the mouthpiece you want me to be today, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. So this message is kind of unique because it's kind of to the graduates, but man, I learned a lot. It's funny how God works. It's funny how God works. So graduation 2023, a step to move forward. And you five that are here, what I want you to know is this is just the beginning. This is the end of your prep school career. But man, this is just the beginning of your future, of your lives, of your college career, if that's what it means, of your work career, if that's what it means, whatever. And listen, it's different for each and every one of you, and that's great. That tells me that we're not just falling into a cookie cutter, and we're trying to follow what God has laid on our heart to do. Because if all five of you were doing the same thing and you're all majoring in the same thing and you all be preachers, I'd say, what? But each one of the five is different. And that's cool. Because as Christians, none of us are identical. We're all out of the same mold. But none of us are identical. We're going to be in Matthew a lot today. The main passage we're going to use is Matthew 14, but before that, we got to set the stage for this. So we're going to be in Matthew chapter 4 to start with, and we're going to start in verse 18. And I titled this a Step to Move Forward because we're going to learn about a guy today that ultimately Jesus called the Rock. That I'm going to build my church on. But he didn't get there overnight. Much like these kids are not going to be finished products tomorrow because they graduated today. And I'm 50-something years old, and God still works on me every day. And there's improvements in me every day, and there's digressions in me every day. But at the end of the day, I'm always moving forward. And that's pretty cool. So Matthew 4, verse 18. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Verse 19, "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once, they left their nets and followed him. Now, as these kids graduate, and if you can all think back to that day, it's foggy for me. You know, God send them on their own journey. And it's just beginning. And parents, man, you've done your job. It's not over yet. Because 20-somethings irritate you as much as teens. But you've done your job. You brought them up in the way of the Lord. And now they're moving forward. But let's think about this guy, Peter. He's just minding his own business. He's out fishing with nets. That'd be a job. Okay? You know, I sell Coca-Cola. I drive around in my car basically all day, and I sometimes don't like that job. But throwing a net continuously into the water and hauling up fish, that net has to be heavy. That is hard work. Carter's in construction, carpentry. That's hard work. Right? Right, Les? Sorry. Hard work. You know, mechanics, that's hard work. Peter was a hard-working dude. Now, even though Peter may not like his job all the time, that was still his job. That was his way of putting food on the table. That was his way of paying bills. That was his way of supporting his family. Okay? This dude comes walking along the beach and says, "Hey, throw your nets out. Come follow me. I'll make you fishers of men." Say what? Okay. Some of these kids today, and Autumn comes to mind, and I know she has a passion for the sign language, but when that first was laid on her, I'm like, huh? When she first told me what she's majoring in, I was like, really? But that's cool. So here's Peter, and it says right here, what does he do? He doesn't hesitate, guys. He doesn't hesitate. At once, they left their nets and followed him. Do we all do that as Christians today? Who said no? Paul. We don't. Because, you know, God will say, "Hey, Matt, I want you to go do this today." And mine are simple. "Hey, Matt, I want you to bring up your faith to Paul at Dexter's in Prospect, Ohio." Not today, God. Not today. But you know what happens? I'll go into that store, and it'll somehow the conversation will lead back to faith. God has a way of working it out. God has a way of working it out, even when I sometimes don't want it to. But that's Peter, no questions. I mean, it doesn't tell us of a dialogue they had. What will I be doing? Where were you going to send me? What, you know, blah, 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 blah. I mean, I'd have questions. That's like a job interview. I'd have a ton of questions. What's my pay? What's my salary? How am I going to pay my bills? Right? It didn't ask anything. They put down their nets and followed him immediately. That's the kind of faith we need to have. That's the kind of faith we need to have. Let's slide over a couple chapters. Matthew 8. And Jesus does in Matthew 5 through 8, he does a bunch of instructing which I'm going to assume is a lot to the disciples, because he's training them. He's molding them right there. And that's the instruction these kids are going to receive, whether their first day on the job or whether they're going to college. They're going to start being instructed certain things they have to do and certain things, ways they have to do it and whatever. Let's go to chapter 8, verse 14. And Jesus heals many is the subtitle for mine. And then the scenery changes because Jesus is out in the crowds and whatever. And it says, when Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand and felt, and the fever left her, and she got up and began to wait on him. When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and broke and bore our diseases. So do we understand when Jesus was healing all that, that stuff wasn't going away? Jesus was absorbing all that junk. And Peter got to see that firsthand. These kids are going to see a lot of stuff firsthand. Some of it won't be nearly as good as Jesus healing people. Okay? Parents, sorry to tell you that, but it's not all rainbows and butterflies from here on out. Matthew 8:23. I love this story. Because I'm telling you all this because this is the stages of Peter, and this is the stages these graduates will go through. Jesus calms the storm. Then he got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. Suddenly, a furious storm came upon the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we're going to drown. Now, I'm going to stop right there for just a second. So Peter and James, they were fishermen, right? They probably had their boat legs. They were used to being on a boat. They had been through storms before. Guys, have we been through storms in our lives? That we should know by now that God's going to handle. But what happens? When that storm hits us, we act like we've never been there before. Sometimes we blame God for it, number one. Sometimes we say, God, what are you doing to me? I cannot do this. Okay? We are no different than Peter. And that's why Peter's learning curve is so applicable to us today. Because he was just a common dude. Some could say he was a dummy like me. Okay? I love Jesus' response. Number one, the fact that Jesus was asleep blows my mind. Listen, I have never been on a boat where I can't see land. It's hard for me to get into a kayak because I'm just afraid I'm going to tip over, and then in my mind, Jaws is in every lake. I'm sorry, or piranhas or whatever. I'm weird, okay? I'm probably never going to go on a cruise, and I know some of you do, and that's cool with me. I tease my wife that I want to, but at the end of the day, I'm probably not getting on that boat. I've seen Titanic. So the disciples are in. I mean, they are just beside themselves. And I can understand. I think I've told you before the time we were camping at Dogwood Valley. And, you know, they have these jump pads and whatnot. My girls were younger, much younger at this point. I don't know, Shelby was 18 maybe. But they thought it would be a great idea to drag Dad out to this jump pad. There's no other reason other than this. Dad is fat guy. He can send me flying through the air when he jumps down on this launch pad. That's the only reason. Right? Because the kids were all out there and, you know, they're jumping off and launching each other and they're going this high off the jump pad, whatever. But, you know, my girl, Shelby's a daredevil. And Shelby said, Dad, come on. Come on, you can send us flying. So Morgan wasn't old enough to even go out there yet, I don't think. Oh, she was out there. My bad. But I went out and jumped, I don't know, it seemed like 100 times. There's probably only 3 or 4. But then crawling back up, I was so tired. So then I launched, I don't know, because you know, like when the big fat guy goes out there, every kid in the campground shows up. Launch me! Launch me! So, I mean, I am tired. Well, I get in the water one time, and I felt like these disciples probably felt because I panicked. I panicked, and I started sinking like a lead weight. I mean, literally. I thought I was dying. Kind of like the disciples here in the boat. They thought they were dying, they couldn't drown, and I can sympathize with that because I thought I was drowning. I had to have my 13 or 14-year-old daughter swim into shore and bring me like 10 life vests to pull me back like a tugboat because I was beat. Okay? So that's why I don't go in ponds. If it doesn't have a concrete floor that I can see the bottom of, Matt doesn't get in the water. Say what you want. Okay? But that's why. So the disciples, I know how they're feeling. But when Jesus wakes up out of a sleep, his response is classic Jesus. He replies, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Now I can only imagine that Peter's at the forefront right here because he was always involved in every conversation with Jesus. He was that kid in school. Me. Right? So Peter... Hello? There it is. So then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. Guys, that's the God we serve. There is no storm too big. There is no storm too violent. But you have to rely on Him. The men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Now, why do I tell you that? I tell you that because I share that passage because, again, it's part of Peter's growth curve. Peter saw all this happen. Peter saw everything. He saw the healings. He saw the storm being calmed. We'll get to more here in a second. Let's go to Matthew 10. Verse 5. This is like the disciples, I don't know if I'd call it their first real test, but this is one of the times Jesus says, "Okay, boys, it's time. This is time. You're going to take your first semester exam. Okay? We're going to send you." These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions, and he was very specific. "Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans." Why? Do you ever wonder why? Here's what I'm going to surmise by it. Jesus didn't want to put them in harm's way. If you go into those towns with the Gentiles and Samaritans, they don't like the Jewish. They don't like Jesus chosen, right? And what is there in a town? There's law. There's governors. There's whatever. Okay? It says, go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Jesus is instilling all the power in the world to these 12 right here. But he's telling them, don't go to these two places. Don't go among these people. Go find the lost. Guys, that's kind of our job as Christians. You know, if you want to go on a mission trip, does it make sense to go to a church? Probably part of it. That's probably part of it because you have to go spread what you're doing. But if you're going on a mission trip, go help somebody. Go help somebody. And that's not going to be among the church necessarily. But think about that. He gave them the power to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Because freely you have received, freely give back. Guys, our job as Christians is to take what we have in here and take it out there. It's not just to keep it bottled up in here. It's great if I go to heaven. That's my ultimate goal. Me keeping it bottled up in here isn't going to save a soul out there. That's my challenge to you as graduates. Man, go show people what your God's done for you. Let's go to Matthew 14. This is the main passage we're going to use. I know I've said a lot already. So about this time, Jesus was... He knew John the Baptist was his cousin, and John the Baptist was beheaded because he was spreading the word. Okay, Jesus knew what was coming. He saw this was coming. He knew this was coming. Yet, Jesus still was performing miracles to develop his disciples, to develop Peter, to develop Matthew, to develop James, to develop all of them. Okay? Verse 13. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Why was that so important? Dude, they just cut John the Baptist's head off. You think Jesus is far behind? Right? And it wasn't his time yet, and he knew that. So he withdrew to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Here's what I'll tell you about the God we serve. No matter what is going on throughout the world, he feels every ounce of pain you feel. He feels every ounce of despair that you feel. He feels every ounce of joy that you feel. And here's his compassion shown right here in verse 14. Verse 15, as evening approached, the disciples came to him. Is it still on? Yeah. And said, there is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food. Jesus replied, they do not need to go away. You give them some food. You know, we've all been there. And if you're going to any of these kids' graduation parties, sure there'll be food there, right? There was no food. There was no food. These people didn't pack their food. There was 5,000 men. The disciples' response, and again, I'm just going to assume this is Peter, because it's just the way he is. Ooh, 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 me, me, me. Can you imagine saying some of the things to Jesus that Peter said? After seeing everything he's done, we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. And you know, if I was a disciple and I'd seen what he's done and seen what he's healed and cured and made people walk and brought people's sight back, I'd be like, hey, Jesus, we only have 5 loaves of bread and a couple fish. What are you going to do? Knowing he's going to do something, right? I'm not sure these guys thought that way. I think they were like poor, pitiful disciples. We're going to get, you know, we're going to be in the middle of a riot, and then we're not going to be eat because we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Bring them here to me, he said, and he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Now, do you ever wonder why we pray before we eat? Here's your example. We've all been there. We've all had times where we didn't know where our next meal was coming from. Ask God to bless the current meal. And he'll multiply it. Then he gave them to the disciples, and his disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men besides women and children. So I don't know. I'm a math guy. I'm a numbers guy, right? If there's 5,000 guys, let's assume 60% of them were married. That's 3,000. So there'd be 3,000 women. So we're 8,000 people. And let's just assume out of those 3,000 couples that were married, that 66% of them had a child, one child. We're at 11,000 people. 5 loaves of bread, 2 fish. Do you think your God can't handle your financial problems? Do you think your God can't handle your worries? Guys, he can fix it. He can fix it. Let's keep reading. Jesus walks on the water. Verse 22. Here's where I wanted to get to. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him on the other side while he dismissed the crowd. So we're clear. Jesus sends these guys in a boat while he stays on the shore. It says, go. Just go. So Jesus, he's the main act of the play, right? The people really didn't care what the heck the disciples were doing, other than they were his mouthpiece and his fingers. They got on a boat. Nobody probably even noticed because Jesus was still there. Right? So Jesus is holding this 11,000 people at bay. After he dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside to pray by himself. Later that night, there he was. He was there alone. And the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him on the lake, they were terrified. These guys. Did they not just see him feed 11,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish? They were terrified, and they said, "It is a ghost." and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." And here's Peter, he's that little student, me. And I love him for that. Peter said, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water." And Jesus says, "Come." Graduates, and here's what I want you to take. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. So, and we talked, Matt and Les and I talked this morning, and you know, Lexi and well, not Jesse and Brittany, but Lexi is skydiving today. And Matt sums it up. He said, "Why get out of a perfectly good airplane?" Okay? And that's kind of the way I feel here. Peter, why get out of a perfectly good boat voluntarily? Because you doubted your Lord. Here he goes. He had the courage to get down out of the boat. And it doesn't say he sank. What's it say? It says, and he walked on the water and came towards Jesus. Guys, you can do amazing things. When you're focused on Jesus. I mean, I have a hard time imagining this. Again, because I sink when I hit water. But can you imagine what the other 11 in the boat were like when they saw Peter? Even if it was only 2 or 3 steps he took. But it doesn't say. It says he was walking and he came towards Jesus. So I'm guessing he took more than 2 or 3 steps. And he's walking on water. Again, don't tell me about your God not being enough. Immediately, Jesus... Nope, sorry. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." So again, here was Peter, the guy who, he was being developed. He was the eager beaver. He was the most aggressive of the disciples, I'm guessing. I'm guessing a lot. But I mean, Peter was my kind of guy, right? He was a go-getter. But even though he knew what he knew about his Lord, he got out there and panicked. Guys, we do that as Christians. And kids, you're going to run into that stuff. And I call you kids, young adults, you're going to run into that stuff. There's going to come roadblocks. It's just going to. I promise. That's the one thing I can guarantee you. You will not go from this day to retirement and not have any roadblocks. If you do, God bless you. You better figure that out and write it down so somebody else knows it. Because there'll be job changes. There'll be tough times. There'll be financial stresses. There'll be whatever. It will happen. It happened to me. It happens to Matt, it happens to Les, it happens to Jesse. It happens to everyone sitting here. That's why church is so important. Because you're not going to go through anything in your young lives that somebody here hasn't always been already been through. Now, Peter was going through something that nobody else had ever been through. But you know what happens? What's he do? He doesn't blame God. He doesn't do what... He cries out for God and reaches to God. And what happens? Jesus takes him by the hand and pulls him up out of the water. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. And then, as any good parent would do, Jesus says, "You of little faith, why did you ever doubt?" Because there's got to be a rebuke. You guys are going to make mistakes. You guys, I make them every day. Usually before I get out of bed. Of course, that's about a 2-hour project. My wife gets aggravated because I set that alarm so early and I never get up. Snooze is 9 minutes, for those of you that don't know. If you hit it twice, you get 18 minutes of extra sleep. Now, Matt just doubles his nightly input if he hits it twice. But those were, when they climbed back into the boat, the wind died down. So, you know, the waves were starting to hit when Peter walked on the water. He panics. He takes his eye off the prize. He starts to sink. Jesus reaches down and saves him. And then they crawl back into the boat and the waves go silent. That, my friends, is what Jesus can do. Then those that were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." And I don't know how long into the disciples' training they were at this point. I'm not a date guy, so I don't know. But it's taken you this long? You guys have seen him bring people back from the dead. You've seen him heal paralyzed people. You've seen him take leprosy away. You've seen him restore sight. I mean, I don't know. Was that pretty common back in those days that you just had people going around healing people? I doubt it. Doubt it. So why did it take calming the storms and bringing Peter back on board for them to realize he is the Son of God? I ask you the same question in our day today. Why does it take some of the things it takes for us to realize that? So graduates, understand this. There's going to be times when you doubt God. There's going to be times when you think, pity, pity me. Again, you're in a church. We've all been through it. Rely on the people of this church to bring you through this, because you're going to face adversity. But Peter came through, and all the graduates realized it. All the disciples. Let's go to Matthew 16:16 real quick. I'm almost done. So this is the final step, not the final step, but this is kind of the tipping point for Jesus and Peter right here. Because Jesus, in verse 13, he comes to the region of Caesarea Philippi and asks his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And they give him a whole litany of responses, right? Elijah, John the Baptist, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. And then Jesus turns his question on them. And guys, this is the question you need to answer for yourselves. Today, tomorrow, every day of your life, Jesus asks, "Who do you say I am?" And Peter's response, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And this is like graduation day for Peter right here in verse 17. Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound on heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he ordered his disciples to not tell anyone that he was the Messiah. So Peter aced it. Right here. He aced it. He got that A on that final exam that he needed to get, and he got it. And those are very, very kind words. And graduates, today, tomorrow, whenever, you're going to hear all that stuff about how much you deserve it, and you do. You're going to hear how great of a job you've done, and you have. But no, because we know what happens to Peter later. Even though here's the guy he's going to build the church on, Peter disowns Christ 3 times in 1 day before the rooster crows, and led part of what led to Jesus being crucified. Peter, and then we know he went from there, and then he went to prison, then he went wherever, all over the place, and preached. Peter eventually was crucified as well. Now, while we don't want that for any of you, follow that example, because Peter fell away. Peter did the unthinkable at that point and said, no, I don't know him. I pray that none of you ever get to that point in your lives when you say, no, I don't know him. Because even though you say you don't, he's still going to work on your life. So, in summary, there's four not so good things about Peter that I'm going to sum up real quick. Number one, Peter doubted Jesus. Number two, Peter became anxious. Number three, Peter took his eyes off the Lord. And number four, Peter doubted himself. Guys, you cannot doubt yourself, but more importantly, you cannot doubt God. Here's the good about what Peter did. He had the courage to step out of the boat. He continued stepping on, because after he sank right there, that could have been the low point of his life. And he could have walked away from it all. But he didn't. He kept stepping on. And as young people, that's going to be your biggest challenge, is you've got to just keep stepping on. Keep stepping on. Because it's going to hit you, I promise, at some point. Keep stepping on. Number three, he saw his need for a Savior. Because when Peter had sunk, he knew he couldn't do it. And he reached out to his Lord and Savior, and his Lord and Savior pulled him up out of that water. He'll do the same for you. Number four, Peter walked with God. That answer there to Jesus' question was perfect. Now, the challenges you'll have as you move forward. Number one, you got to let go of your fears. I know some of you are moving away from home. Some of you are starting new jobs. Some of you are starting totally new paths. Well, all of you are starting totally new paths. But you got to let go of your fear. Fear will hold you back. You got to live beyond life's conveniences. As I pull my cell phone out, I got this little quick story to share here. Consider the life of a certain man. At 16, his family was forced out of their home. He had to work to support them as a young boy. At 32, he ran for state legislature. He lost the election, then his job. At 33, he borrowed some money from a friend and began a business, and by the end of the year, he was bankrupt. He spent the next 17 years of his life paying off the debt. At 35, he became engaged to be married, but his sweetheart died. His heart was broken, and he never got over it. At 36, he had a nervous breakdown and was in bed for 6 months. At 38, he sought to become Speaker of the state legislature and was defeated. At 40, he sought to become an elector and he was defeated. At 43, he ran for Congress and lost. At 54, he ran for Senate of the United States and lost. At 56, he sought the presidency of the United States and won. Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln, I don't know that we've had a president quite like him since. Dude had a lot on his plate once he was in presidency. But understand, there's going to be trials. There's going to be strife. There's going to be failures. Keep stepping on. Number three, you got to learn from your mistakes. And number four, you got to look onto and lean on Jesus. And I'm reminded of, I don't know, my parents' house when I was growing up, they had this bronze plaque. And I walked by that many times and never thought to read it. Probably wasn't until I was out of the house that I even remember what it said. It's a story of the guy that just fell on terrible times, then questioned God and said, God, why did you always leave me? Every time I fell on something terrible, you left me. And God then says, you know, you look at your life's paths and you see where there's one set of footprints, and you think I left you. He said, that's where I picked you up and carried you. And that's Matt's version. It's called Footprints. Really look it up and read it. It's a pretty cool read. But I gave you the short version because we got to get rolling. Graduates, congratulations. Enjoy this. You deserve it. Understand there's going to come trials and tribulations. There's going to come a ton of joys as well. I don't want to be negative Nancy. But when you keep your eyes focused on Jesus, those trials and tribulations are going to be easier to get through. They're not going to go away. I didn't say you're not going to have trials and tribulations if you live a good Christian life. But if you stay focused on Him, even in those trials and tribulations, He's going to get you through them. He's going to pick you up and carry you. He's going to reach His hand out and pull you out of that water. I'll leave you with this passage. It's my favorite passage, especially on graduation Sunday. Many of you know it by heart. Graduates, I would encourage you to memorize this. Keep it in your bank. And use it. Jeremiah 29. And I'm going to read 11 through 13. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in a future. In verse 12, then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. What a great verse. I'm going to finish it up with that. I don't think I need to say anything else. Lean on Him. And guys, here's what else I'll tell you. You have a church that's praying for you every single day. You have men and women here that understand what you're going to go through. It may look different for each one of you, but you're still all going to go through the same process, I guarantee. But understand that you have a church family here that's praying for you daily. And if there's a need that you have that comes up ever, Because now you go from kid of the church to sister or
brother.
You've always been sister or brother. Hello, there it is. But now, man, you are part of the brotherhood. There's no problem too big. There's no problem too small. Don't feel like your problem's insignificant. If you have an issue, bring it to us. Let us bathe it in prayer with you. And let's get through it together. With that, we'll have an invitation here. If you have any issue or any needs, any prayer requests, any prayer praises, we'd love to hear them. Please don't hesitate. If you've never made that decision to make Christ the center of your life and you want to today, today's your day. Today's your day. Don't wait. We're not promised tomorrow. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you, and we thank you for these graduates, and we lift them up to you today, Lord, that your hand is in their lives and your hand is on their whole life, Lord, and just guide them, push them in the right direction, and let them give you all the praise and glory for that. Lord, we also just thank you for the message of Peter, and thank you for the example that he provides for us, so that we can realize that we are going to fall short. And we are going to maybe fall away. But Lord, all we have to do is cry out and reach out to you, and you're right there to pick us up and save us. And the whole way, you're just carrying us along when we need you to. In your name we pray. Amen.